The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
We have a great episode of UFC Unfiltered today. Matt and I talked to Derek Brunson on the phone about his fight this weekend coming up with Jacare. And, of course, the talented and lovely Leila Ali is in studio with us.
She was amazing.
I think so.
Jaws are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh! On the button!
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again!
He's out!
This is UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
I'm excited, Jimmy.
Well, Matt, I always feel that way when we're together. Happy.
Well, that's a given. But now, I like when we have... Go ahead.
We have a good show today. We're going to do our picks. We have Derek Brunson calling in. He's fighting the main event against Jacare this weekend. And we have an in-studio guest, which I think is what you were going to say.
That's what I was going to say. I can't even control myself. It's so exciting.
Well, she's a little early, but I think I don't like to make them wait. I guess because I do host a show and I'm also a guest on shows. I hate waiting.
Make who wait?
Our guest, Leila Ali. So I'm always fine with bringing the guest in early because she's here early. So why not? I mean, why have her sit out there when she can come in and talk to us?
Yeah, of course.
And so do you want to grab her?
Yeah, I'm going to grab her.
Promoting a new cookbook.
She is.
Well, that's good because I'm a little chubby Italian guy. Is there any Italian dishes? I got to ask
you. You know, it's funny. Sometimes on radio when people are promoting cookbooks with a male demo, a lot of times people go, you don't talk to somebody about that. It's not.
Oh, no.
But when it comes to people who are fight fans, it's like a lot of people who listen to this do give a shit about what they look like and their nutrition.
I thought you meant like when it came to fatties.
No.
You're going to make that something towards me.
No. But I'm saying it's like there are guys that listen to the show, a lot of guys who will actually care about eating something that's healthy coming from an athlete.
Yeah, but does she make a chicken parm is what's going on here?
I imagine she does.
Can I ask about that?
You can ask whatever you want.
Is that going to be...
You're the co-host.
Can I ask about any kind of Italian food? Or
you can
dishes?
Ask. Hello.
Yes, you can ask.
Come sit.
I'm so excited. Nice to see you. This is great.
That's your fave, chicken parm?
Oh, I can't wait to ask you about this cookbook.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you guys, too. What's up, fellas?
Hello.
Nice to see
you. How tall are you? You're taller than I
am. 5'11".
Oh, 5'11". I'm just short.
I'm tall, but I'm extra tall with heels. I'm about 6'3", 6'4", right now, so I'm like a giant, yes.
Yeah, Amazon. That's awesome, though.
Yeah, huh?
That's good, though. I was going to say Amazon, but that's not an intro. That's like Wonder Woman's in Amazon.
I'm a big chick.
Yeah.
I don't take offense to that. I go around telling people, you know, as a fighter.
Yes.
As like we weighed in. I weigh 200 pounds today. I got a big coat on. I don't look like I weigh 200 pounds right now.
No, Leila, first of all, you
Leila
look great.
Leila Ali has been here for 1 minute and she showed her stomach. Man, this is going to be a great interview.
I'm used to boxing in a ring, you know, having
that's true. That's true. And I used to fight, and really, I don't know if you saw those old school Valley Tudo shorts. I used to fight in these little tight shorts, but I'm not lifting my shirt up. I'll lose friends.
You know
I
what?
Can.
Yeah, and you know what? Them shorts, you know, we'll talk about that later. I don't understand some of those things, I get it, but I guess you had to wear them.
Yeah,
right?
Back in the day, I did.
Yeah.
And it wasn't bad then. Because I didn't have any carbs on me.
Right.
You can't catch me in those now.
Yeah, okay, good.
You know?
Thank you. Don't do that.
Special occasion with my wife, maybe, but usually no, Leila.
I'm not an ex-fighter. You probably knew that by looking at me.
Yeah,
it's odd.
Yeah,
it's funny, your bodyguard came in, he was asking, he recognized me from somewhere, and he goes, because I looked at you, I knew you're not a fighter. Like, I just give off that,
yes.
I'm a wimpy talker vibe.
No, you look familiar to us, and I was like, oh yeah, but he knew exactly, pinpointed.
He did, yeah. It was funny, when he looked at me, I'm like, I bet you that's where he knows me from, it's not from, he doesn't think I'm a fighter, and he did not.
No. know. It's all good.
Do you watch a lot of MMA or are you a fan of MMA?
I don't actually watch a lot of MMA, but that's not really saying much because I don't watch a lot of TV.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. So I got a 6-year-old and a 9-year-old and a husband. And guess what? They like to watch TV.
Yeah.
And so normally they're using the TV, but I do watch the things that my husband watched. My husband watched Power. That's how I've seen you before.
Okay.
My husband watched certain shows. But, you know, you don't really have to watch anymore for the big fights because you hear about them, you see them, you see clips online. So there's certain fighters like Cyborg, you know, as a female fighter, you know, that I know of. She reached out to me before, so we actually, you know, I got
her number. Did she want boxing help?
She did, yeah. She actually hit me once on Twitter, and I was like, oh, hey, you know, and I was like, I'm not a trainer, but I would love to, we could spar,
you
know? She's like, really? Not yet. But I told her, like, I am not in shape. I would have to run. But yeah, that would be fun to me, just to get in there.
You still work? You still move around? Or
Well, when you say move around, you mean in the ring? Like, actually fight? No. I've had those moments where I was like, you know, I wanted to go do some sparring. So maybe that would be probably like a year ago, would say.
Yeah.
And it's totally different. Like once you get in there, because you become numb to a lot when you're doing it all the time. I was feeling everything. It was like, oh.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'm good. Okay, I got my 4 rounds in. I don't need it. I got my little fix.
I'm sorry, Jimmy. I was going to say, do you ever feel because of your reputation, your name, like, is it hard to find, like, even just some people to move around with nicely because of
they want to do something? No, because I box men.
So there you go.
The thing is, and I always did, because I'm a big girl. It's hard for one to find women in your weight class. And then if you do, they might be on a skill level that's not really helpful. So I used to always spar up.
Yes.
And I say I get in there with people who are more experienced than me. Not only because I'm heavy-handed, and even with a man, you get in there with a man who's 140 pounds, okay?
Yeah.
He's going to feel it when I hit him.
Do they try to take it easy on you at first and realize that's a mistake?
So that's what happens. So you got to get somebody who has a certain skill level because you're going to get pissed. Like, you get cracked. As a fighter, you're going to want to get somebody back. So they have to know how to hold back because a man's always going to be stronger than woman.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get guys, when I spar, that could work with me for sure.
And it's, you were 24, I think 24-0 is your record?
24-0, 21 knockouts.
24-0, 21 knockouts. And women's boxing is not as popular, like right now it would be like what women's MMA is. And do you ever feel like you didn't get the accolades as, because you're an elite athlete with an extraordinarily impressive record.
Rewind though, you said it is what, because it's not what women's MMA is.
That's what I'm saying.
It isn't as popular as women's MMA for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that, well, first of all, MMA has become so popular because people want to see fights. They want to see real competition in the ring with one another. And there's a lot of talented women fighters out there, but unfortunately they don't have the platform on a lot of the undercards to fight. And women's boxing just now, you know, well, for the last couple Olympics, got into the Olympics. It wasn't there when I was fighting. And there's some girls who have been able to start getting a little more attention. But I would say that I definitely did not, especially being the daughter of Muhammad Ali. You would think, okay, if you have everything right, I'm supposedly attractive. I can fight, and I'm Muhammad Ali's daughter. And I still wasn't able to do certain things. And I think it's just the timing. But, you know, it did put it on the map as far as people knowing that women box, you know. But it's like people weren't really comfortable with it yet. We were taught as a society that women are supposed to be protected, right? And a lot of people just weren't comfortable seeing women fighting. But times are changing.
Yes. What and obviously, how many brothers and sisters do you have?
There's 9 of us total, 2 boys.
And how many? 7 daughters and 2 sons. How many of you fought? Was it only you?
Just me.
What? That's the amazing thing is, was it the pressure of being one of Ali's kids that made the boys not want to fight? And did he discourage you from doing it?
You know what? I can't really speak for them, but I would say that you have to be, you got to be a fighter. It's got to be in you. You can't just say, I think I'm just going to fight, because it doesn't last long. You know, it's like I'm the fighter of the family. I was a fighting before I got into the ring. A lot of people didn't realize that. A lot of people were like, oh, you're too pretty. It's a publicity stunt, all those things. They don't realize the rough side of me. Like, I had a pretty tough childhood growing up. I actually wrote about this in my first book, Reach, Finding Strength, Spirit, and Personal Power. And I ended up in juvenile hall for 3 months.
Tough because of your decisions or because
of
decisions made for you?
Okay. No, for sure. My own. Well, it's intertwined, because as a kid, there's certain decisions that are made for you that cause a certain ripple effect, you know, but again, I was causing a lot of the trouble in my own life.
Sure.
And I wouldn't have changed any of it because it made me who I am. But I got a little rough edge to me, and I think that's what you need for sure.
Juvenile hall?
Yeah.
You don't have to dive into dark
3 months.
Times, but how come I can't hear myself on this thing?
It's probably your headphones.
Is it my headphones?
You sound good.
You can hear me?
Sure.
You don't have to dive into too much, but delve into it. But what happened?
I was ditching school. I was totally just defiant with my mother. Got myself in trouble. I was out with some. So what actually really did it was being out with some friends, hanging with the wrong crowd. It was just escalating. And then I had a friend who shoplifted, and she was like, hey, let's go shoplifting. I'm like, I got money in my pocket. Okay, I'm going to try it. And then we got caught, you know, because I know what I was doing. So, and then I got on probation, and then I wasn't doing good. So then they start monitoring you. So I already was kind of doing my own thing. And that's when it kind of just one thing led to another. I was like, I think you need to do a little time. And the great thing was the judge never sentenced me to time. First, he was like, I'm going to give you 2 weeks and I'm going to see you again. And I was like, oh, 2 weeks was the end of my life. I come back. I sit in the back of the courthouse, like ready to be seen. He sends me back. He didn't see me. And so he did that to me a few times. So I spent time with without actually being sentenced to time. And I wrote about all the whole story in my book.
How old were you when you...
I was about 15 at that time. Oh, 15, wow. 16 actually, 16.
What is the pressure? Is it because like you're the daughter of one of the most beloved guys alive? Like all of a sudden you have to do something to stand out, or what? What is? There's got to be a lot of pressure with that, or there's got to be some pressure.
Well, I didn't really see it that way, because one thing is that you know it all starts within yourself and your self talk, right? I never thought to myself I need to do something to stand out. First of all, let's just paint the picture. I never thought that there was any way I was going to live up to be who my father is, nor did I want to be. Okay. I was always focused on living my own life. Like I wake up every day like I'm Layla. I didn't wake up every day like I'm Muhammad Ali's daughter. Right. What do I need to do? Yeah. Just like the average person. So of course I take that into consideration. I didn't even want to box until I saw women's boxing on television, until I saw a woman get into the ring. Then I was like, what? Women box? That's a possibility. How did I not know about this? I'd already been fighting. Yeah. Nobody was paying me. I'm like, I can do this and get paid and not get in trouble and do what I... And then I was... it set in like, can I do it? How do you do it? You know, am I able to be an athlete? I wasn't even an athlete. So then I started training for a year, kind of in secrecy. You know, I was like, I'm just doing it as a workout. But I really was trying to see, do I have what it takes, because I'm not going to embarrass my father or my family name.
Of course. No, I'm sorry, Jimmy. I'm being a father. I have three little girls.
Eight, oh, wow.
Yeah. 8, 6, and 4. Yeah, I'm surrounded. I'm if they wanted to fight when they get older, I know the struggles of a fighter. Exactly. I know the highs of the highs. I know the lows of the lows. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'd have to really, if they really wanted it, I'd have to see. But was your father supportive?
Heck no.
No.
He didn't want
no, not at all?
No, heck no. And I wouldn't be want my children to fight. So he basically, well, I wouldn't say he wasn't supportive. He tried to talk me out of it indirectly. The same things we would say to our children. Yeah. Because a lot of people don't realize what you really go through, right? And he was just like, what are you going to do with the whole world watching? There's going to be a lot of pressure. And he was like, I'm ready, Dad. You know, he's like, okay, she just doesn't understand. Well, what are you going to do if you get knocked down? You know, and I'm like, well, I'm going to do what you did. I'm going to get back up, Dad. Yeah. And he's just like, oh, I'm just not getting to it. What if you get knocked out? I was like, that's just not going to happen. But if it does, I ask for a rematch. And then it was like, then he finally told me what was really on his mind. He was just like, it's not for women. It's a man's sport. It's hard. It's too tough. And I didn't get upset. I was just, because we didn't agree on a lot of things. You know, and this was just another one. And I was like, okay, Dad. That's how you feel, but I'm going to do it anyway, and I'm going to show you, you know. And so, and then he did eventually come to me after winning my titles and championships and coming to fights and say, you know what, I was wrong. You can fight. Funny. Women can fight. And then he was just like, let me show you how to jab. I'm like, really, Dad? I already know. Like, I didn't win championships. Now you want to get in here? Like, it was funny.
Did you have a good relationship with him?
Oh, yeah, for sure. But we definitely had that bump heads relationship, because I'm the one child out of all that told him at a young age, I don't want to be Muslim. It's like, what? Yeah. After all that,
I didn't know that. You're the only one who's not Muslim.
No, yeah, I'm the only one. So, yeah. So I was like, no. And at a very young age, and that was big if you know Muhammad Ali's history. So I've always been that one that was like, I'm going to move out the house. I moved out the house at 18, moved in with a boyfriend. He's like, you're living in sin. I said, first of all, I'm not Muslim. Don't judge me. Second of all, I have my own business, a nail salon. I pay my own bills. Yeah. I bet you didn't know that. I did nails and had a nail salon.
No.
Very ambitious. So by the time I was 19, I had my own business. So I was like, wait a minute, I pay my bills. So he was always like, I can't tell Layla nothing. So then here comes the boxing. That was what am I going to do with this chick?
Yeah, but in a way, you're a lot like your father, where you're kind of rebellious, right? I mean, not like,
I do what I want to do. That's what the way that I want to do it. Yes.
Is that why you think you buck heads? You're kind of alike a little? Not buck heads, but.
I'm the most like him when it comes to that. But he respected it. Yes. You know, so he respected it and I respect him, but it's just like, you live your life and I live mine. So it was fun though.
What made you not want to be Muslim? Because I didn't want to go to catechism when I was a kid. I didn't know how to get away with that.
I learned at a very early age, it just didn't speak to me in my heart. And there was a lot of things that I didn't understand that didn't make sense to me. And then I come to find out that religion really isn't my thing. Although the rules of religion, although I'm very spiritual, I have my relationship with God, I know right from wrong, you know, all these different things. But I kind of took more to my mom's side, and she was more science of mind, which is Christian based, which is more of spiritual. So you can just kind of be any religion. And so that's kind of what I took to more. But like I said, that's one thing that I don't get hyped about. Like, what if you believe in God and you believe in being a good person, you are right with me. Like, all those other rules, whether you eat pork or not, it really doesn't make a sense to me. It's what kind of person are you?
Yeah.
And I don't think that you need necessarily religion. I don't, but some people do. Some people need that, those rules, you know, to be like, to keep them on the straight and narrow. So,
and do you feel differently too about some of the women fighting in MMA now? Because you weren't obviously a big fan of Ronda at one point.
Oh, because remember what happened in the media? I mean, they talk about
how it wasn't, get started.
I'll tell you exactly how it got started. TMZ.
Of course.
And
they know drama.
They normally don't do that.
Oh my God. Yeah. But no, I wasn't, it wasn't like I was not a fan, because I respect anybody who, I mean, she went to the Olympics and won and is you know, that, but I did know she was overhyped.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I didn't know enough. But when I got asked about her, I got asked by TMZ. I was walking through the parking lot, minding my own business. And I know you got a lot of UFC fans, so please listen, because they got pissed.
They
were talking
like
a whole lot of shit when it happened. But I was asked, like, hey, Layla, how you doing? Hey, good, good. What do you think of Ronda Rousey? Oh, she's great. She's wonderful. Can she beat you? I was like, hell no. Yeah. And I laughed. I was like, she's like the size of my 4-year-old daughter. That's what set it off.
Yeah.
But I was basically, people don't know my personality. I was being funny and saying she's a lot smaller than me, people.
Yeah.
So it really isn't even about skill, even though she, you know, she wouldn't have been able to beat me in any way. But you know how much bigger I am than her?
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like, you got to get me down into an arm bar, and I'm going to knock you all the way out before you even get to that point. Because I throw right hands.
She's a fighter.
You don't move your head.
Yeah.
I saw that. I don't have to follow MMA, no UFC to see that. I saw her one time. I said, she does not move her head. She had just won a fight where she stopped the girl in 30 seconds. I don't care about that.
Yeah.
I want to see what you do. Your nose was bleeding. You got hit so many times on the way to that knockout. And if that was me, you would have been on the floor. So really, it's a skill and size thing. And of course, that was before she lost. So it was like, oh, Ronda would do this, Ronda would do that. That's how that happened. You asked. I know I'm going on.
No, listen.
This is my moment. This is my moment to let them know.
No, you should clear it up. That's good.
I was not trying to be negative. It had nothing to do with her.
And it's not like you're calling up TMZ. Let me give you my opinion. They're asking you.
And it doesn't matter if it's her or the next woman. No woman will ever beat me. Period.
I love her attitude.
Let me get
a studio applause.
Would you?
I love her attitude.
Yeah.
I love it.
Now, what if she shot for a takedown? Ronda tend to come in high from judo, but what if she shot for a takedown? What if she shot low for a takedown and grabbed you in a single leg?
That's not going to happen, because I'm going to look. First of all, we don't even need to talk about her anymore, because it's not even fun, because she's already lost.
Yeah. But my question was, now that you feel like that she's been exposed and people say that, and we're going to get to your cookbook in a second, because as you see, I'm a fatty. I can't wait to ask you about something. I can't wait to ask her about
something. You like to eat, baby.
I do, and I want to ask you about Italian dishes. But really quick, do you feel a little, like, not that you missed the boat with it, because there was a little of that drama with the TMZ, and before she was, you know, so-called exposed, you ever feel like, man, if we could have made that fight happen, woo!
I have to be honest with you, I was never interested in that.
Okay.
But, you know, money talks.
Yes.
So, it would have been a possibility, okay? But then she messed around and lost. So, it's not, somebody's O must go, right?
Yeah.
When you got two undefeated fighters.
Both undefeated, yeah.
That's what makes it exciting. If you've already lost to two people that I could beat, then it doesn't make it exciting.
And really, one last thing before the cookbook, because I can't wait to talk about it. Your father took a fight in Japan. I don't know what it was with Aoki.
And he
was kicking at his legs, and your father's just like, I don't know the whole background about that.
I don't either, to be honest.
Okay.
But I know about it.
Yes, because I'm just like,
who won the fight?
I don't know.
It was weird. It was very weird. It was a weird thing where like you know, Aoki didn't want to strike with him at all, so he'd be jumping
on the
in
floor,
and just, like,
right?
Kicking at his
legs.
But
didn't he stay on the floor?
He stayed
ground?
On the floor.
So that's not even a
almost
fight.
Like the original butt scoot.
Yeah, that's
but
crazy.
He was like kicking at his legs. It was a weird thing.
I'm sure they made a lot of money, right?
Well, Ali said in an interview. I sometimes watch him on the old Mike Douglas show. That was the best show ever. He'd just sit there and hang out with Sly. And
that's before. I don't know, well, that's before me and Lele's time.
But he said one time, and I think he called him a karate man. But he said a karate guy will always beat the boxer. Yeah. He said because he has use of his legs. Mm-hmm. So he kind of knew that you can't fight a guy who's doing
yeah.
Martial
well,
arts.
The thing is that that's just his opinion. Doesn't mean he yeah. was right. I already told you about me and my dad.
That's a good point.
But let me just say, there's a couple of things that come into play. I think if you have two people, I'm talking about two really fighters who can take punches.
Yeah.
You got to be able to take a punch when you're yes. there with a puncher, and I'm a puncher. And you got to have a skill, and then pound for pound, then possibly that's true. You know, it just depends. So it's like if you can, but if you're not going to move your head. And you're in there with someone bigger and stronger and you get hit with a right hand, that's not fair. That's why I laughed about the whole idea in the first place, because it just wouldn't yeah. be fair to match us that way, because I believe in weight and pound for pound and punching power and all that kind of thing. So,
what do you think of Conor Floyd? I know you said it was just an entertainment value fight.
It was.
Was it better than you thought it was, or do you think that Floyd didn't go all out?
It definitely was not better than I thought it was, but I think that it went exactly what I thought. Floyd can pretty much... Floyd is like on such a different level, you know what I mean? And Conor, trust me, he's a good fighter. He has heart, you know, and I like his style. I like him as a person. Like, I really wasn't feeling him, and then I happened to be on a flight, and I saw there was like a special they did on him.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I like him because he's a stand-up guy, and I can deal with that, you know what I mean? Yeah. But I did see, like, okay, it's a money fight for them. It's on the people. If they want to pay for it, cool. But Floyd pretty much was just kind of playing, stringing him along. You yeah. know what I'm saying? Because Floyd can box in his sleep. He can see the punches you're trying to throw before you even throw them. You know, I said, yeah. but I did say he has a chance. He has a puncher's chance, but I don't think that's going to happen. And so it was cool. I mean, it was nice that, you know, he at least let the fans yeah. have those moments where they're like, oh, wait, maybe he could do something. It's like, no, Floyd's not. That's not happening.
Now, and you're obviously a nutrition-based person. You're an elite athlete. And you, and your cookbook, because I try to eat. I can't cook at all. I've never cooked a day in my life. But I want to eat, like, I don't want to be fat.
Well, you're not, so you
thank
don't have to
you
worry
very
about
much.
That. And you're not fat either.
Thank you so much, yes. Layla. But yes. Now you're going to, I don't know, do you have any Italian dishes?
You know what?
I'm the not close, fat.
But he's not kidding. Before you came in, he's like, you think she has chicken parm?
I'm like, I heard that. That is not one of my specialties, although I could okay. make it.
What
you
is
know,
that?
I could, oh, this is a sweet potato pie right
that's
here.
Very good.
But you know, everything that I cook and try to make it healthier. So
okay.
I would say the closest thing that I have is a ratatouille.
Ratatouille.
The closest thing.
Oh, sorry.
That's the closest
called?
Thing. Ratatouille.
What is it?
It is basically vegetables that you cook on a stove. So you have your zucchini, you have your tomatoes, you have your eggplant.
Matt tapped
yeah.
out.
That's the closest thing. So no, it's not. I wouldn't say. I'm trying to think. Like, let me.
I usually don't tap out quick.
I started to open the book. Like, you know, what? Let me see what else can fall under Italian.
What is your special? No. Like, what do you cook, like, particularly well? Like, what do you go, like, this is why I
the
wrote a
recipes,
cookbook?
The recipes, well, first of all, I've been cooking since I was 9 or 10 years yeah. old. Let me just put that down there. So it's not like, oh, you know, I'm just trying to do something. This is something yeah. that I was doing before I was boxing. And I've kind of come back to it. And I've been making the recipes in there, such as my stewed chicken and my gumbo and my oven fried chicken wings. So of course I got the soul food.
That sounds good though.
Yeah, I'm a sister. So you know, when black people see me on the cover,
delicious.
They're gonna be like, wait a minute, what do you have? So
yeah.
yeah, I have those things, but of course they're made in a healthier way as far as the preparation and the ingredients that are used. But if I have salads, I have pasta, I have
You said pasta?
Yeah. Well, okay, but not your kind of
not
pasta.
My kind. There's no red
like
sauce involved.
Quinoa. Yeah, there is. I have a secret red sauce because I have
secret
a
red
yes,
sauce.
Because I have
a secret after this.
Well, it's in the book, but okay. I have a 6-year-old who doesn't always love to eat her vegetables. So what I do is I take vegetables, I roast them, I blend them down, and put them into the tomato sauce. So I also have a secret white sauce. So like, say if you're making mac and cheese and you want to get some vegetables in there, why not put a little cauliflower, a little zucchini, blend it down? They can't taste it. You mask the flavor. So yes. I have those things.
So it's like when you want to give like an animal a pill, you basically
yeah.
crunch it up
yeah.
and you put it in the
put
food.
Put in a
and
piece of sausage or
yeah.
something. That type of thing. Good. Yes. Yes. Exactly.
That's
like
how
that.
I always got pills given yeah. to me. They would crunch it up and put it in a dog bowl.
But all the flavor is there, you know, because that's why I don't think it's a health book because yeah. it's just we should be eating healthy, but like again, all the flavor is there. So nutrition is king, but flavor is queen.
So whether you're Jimmy who hasn't eaten a carb since 1999 or myself where you're a bit of a fat guy, that has something for everybody.
For sure.
Oh, this
definitely.
Is great.
I love to eat. I love to get my grub on. And I have a burger in there that I dedicated to my father. the greatest of all time burger. And how it came to be, basically, is my father used to pick us up, take us to these burger joints, right? And I remember him always ordering his burger the same way,
yeah,
right? So I pretty much recreated that burger and just dedicated it to him. So
they got to buy the book to find out how he likes it, right? Because I want to know.
I'm not telling how the champ ate his burger.
I do want to ask this. What was the reaction every time he'd walk into a burger place and ask for a burger?
Oh my God, can you imagine? Ali, but this particular burger place that I can't remember the name of, they knew him there. We were regulars, you know, but it was like a hole in the wall place, but they used to flavor their meat and season their meat, you know, so that was the thing that I think he loved about it.
At what point did you realize that the way you lived life as a kid, was there a point where you realized, like, going into this burger place or having everybody go crazy, hey, this is not what most kids experience? Like, how long did it take you to realize that your life was a lot different?
Well, listen, when you leave a 14,000 square foot mansion in a Rolls Royce and you ride down the street with the top down and all of us standing up in the car with no seatbelts on, and that was back in the day, you know.
Sure, sure.
And it's Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't right. But, you know, and people are always, Ali, and he's honking and waving and he's passing out $100 bills to homeless people on the road. That was a regular thing that I saw. And then going to, like, the neighborhood Bob's Big Boy. Remember Bob's Big Boy? And there was always a crowd of people around. He always had a black briefcase, which had his magic tricks, and he had his pre-signed Muslim pamphlets. Okay.
He would sign them?
Because he would say, you know, well, people want your autograph, and if you give it to them on a pamphlet, then they have to read it. So he would, you know, so there's all these things that we saw. He prepared, like, he signed these autographs, and he would stand there for hours and do magic. Oh. So I hated going with Dad, because it was just like, as a kid, you're like, oh, man, we're stuck again. We just want to get something to eat.
It's funny. Ali just wants to do magic tricks with strangers. That's awesome.
Loves it. He loves entertaining. he was a people person.
I'm such a movie person. Did you like the Will Smith movie adaptation of his life?
I thought it was good. I thought it was good. I mean, that's not Ali to me, but I thought Will did an amazing job, and he really took it seriously. He spent time with the family, he consulted the family, and he did an amazing job. Yeah. So there was moments where you almost forgot you were watching Will, and I think if you can do that, you've done your job.
Well, that's a really hard guy to play too, because it's such a famous person. Like, you know, it's like when you look at who played Capote. Philip Seymour Hoffman played Capote. Mm-hmm. He's a famous guy, but a little easier to do an impression of. But Ali, there's one image of. And
you tell me, as an actor, you know, because I would think that being your job, that you would just be like, yeah, I'm gonna do this. If you have the right build and you know, you be confident and you do your research, then you go for it. It seemed like it would be really exciting, though, wouldn't it?
I don't have Will Smith confidence. Like, here's the like when you look at Cuba Gooding Jr. did OJ. He does not look like OJ, and he sounded not that much like him, but he said he played the guy, he played the emotions, and it just worked. You didn't look at it and go, he doesn't look like OJ. You're like, this is what OJ was going through.
Yeah.
So sometimes the little difference in look is okay if the guy is playing it emotionally.
You gotta,
right.
Then you gotta really be heavy on the acting side then, right? Yeah. To make us forget all of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, your dad played himself in a movie called The Greatest.
That was funny.
Yeah, it was like, didn't he play himself through all ages, like from 17 to 45?
I don't think it was all ages, but it was that was a good one. I liked it. I thought
you did like
good job,
it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you get sick and tired of, who's your mom? Your mom is Island
Veronica.
I think her name is Lonnie.
Lonnie was his current wife.
I met your dad once. I get to sit in a hotel room with him for 45 minutes. We had a mutual friend, and he wasn't talking much. Mm-hmm. At the end, were you able to communicate with him? Or
when you say the end, do you mean before he passed?
Oh, yeah, like, last couple of years, yeah.
No, I mean, we can communicate with him usually early in the morning, okay, before he took his meds, because he took lots of meds, and the meds are what had the side effects that kind of made him kind of go out of it.
But did they stop tremors and things like that?
Yeah, okay. So, but he, you know, because Parkinson's, everything shuts down, so we would have a hard time swallowing. Sometimes we'd get food stuck in his mouth, things like that. So the medicine, even though it kind of made it where he wouldn't communicate with you as much, it was, you know, really important to have. But if you get to him before like 11 o'clock, for some reason he'd take his medicine, you could have not the kind of conversation like I'm having with you.
Yeah.
But you could be like, hey, Dad, like, hey, how you doing? You know, he would know and he'd be there. But then he'd take that medicine and it would be, you know, that was hard to watch. So I felt like he was kind of trapped in his body because his mind was there.
100%, right?
But not 100%, no. I wouldn't say, because, you know, I'm sure you're altered in some sort of way with Parkinson's, but he was there. You know, you can make that connection with him. So he's in a better place now, and that's what gives me comfort in knowing that, you know, I believe he's his old self, you know, wherever he is. So.
Yeah.
Eating a slice of my sweet potato pie with a la mode.
And I just remember that Lonnie was a very good conversationalist. She was very able to, like, I guess she got used to people wanting to say something and, you know, having a nice conversation. I just liked her a lot.
Lonnie is definitely perfect when it comes to being able to speak on the behalf of my father, which she came very comfortable to do. Very educated woman. She'd been around for years. She grew up across the street from my dad. So, you know, he used to babysit her and her sister, Marilyn. Yeah. Oh. So she'd been around for a long time.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So
she's been around. Yeah. She's been around.
Okay.
I grew up with Lonnie, like, for sure.
Oh, he knew her for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I understand. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've got certain people like that. You just kind of know pretty well.
Yeah.
So is your sweet potato pie good? I just started eating sweet potatoes. I despise them because they're orange and they're creepy looking. But I started eating.
What?
I didn't like them. And I finally started eating them and they're actually really
good.
Wait.
So they were creepy. So you didn't taste them or you had tasted them and you didn't like them?
I just didn't. I looked at them and they reminded me of yams. And I'm like, there's no way those are good. And then somebody suckered me into eating them because they were like sweetened and they were phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, a yam and a sweet potato, people confuse all the time. Even I do sometimes. I just recently learned the difference. I'm like, I thought it was the same thing, but they're different. And yeah, but the cinnamon and the vanilla and a little bit of, you know, raw organic brown sugar, of course, is amazing. So
when I was training, and it used to be like I'd have one of those, it'd be like a slice of cake, man. It was so good.
Oh, babe, don't even get started.
I used to fight at 155 at one point.
So did you always have to cut weight?
I'm heavier than you, and you see how tall you said? Mm-hmm. I'm 5'6". We didn't stand up yet.
It's all muscle on that. You look good.
There's some muscle on there, but it ain't all muscle. Like, keep it real, don't play.
Well,
chicken parmesan with cheese and sauce. Well,
the second
pasta.
She comes in, I'm like,
fair point.
I'm like, what is it? Do you have anything with mozzarella?
But you look good, though.
Thank you,
Layla.
You
still look good.
I mean, come on, we work so hard.
Thank you. Know what I mean? All the running and the training and putting your body through all that. Take a rest, brother. It's okay.
Thank you so much. The sweet potatoes, though, they are tasty, though. I would have those even if vegetables, I gotta do something. I gotta get a power drink. I gotta
get my secret sauce.
Are you leaving that book? Do you have an extra one?
Of course.
Okay, good.
Of course.
Jimmy, I need it more than you.
You can have it.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Do you, what does your husband do?
My husband used to play football.
Oh, so okay.
He used to play for the Jets. He used to play for the 49ers. He used to play for the Bears. His name is Curtis Conway.
Okay.
And
defensive
came
player?
Out of USC. He was a wide receiver.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, he's amazing. I love him to death.
Now, because you're an athlete and you're such, like, again, you're a person who takes care of yourself and you fought and you're used to the spot. Did you have to date somebody like that? Like, somebody who wouldn't be threatened by your...
I've had some doozies.
You've had some bad ones?
This is my second marriage.
Okay.
I got married really young, which I don't regret any of it because my ex-husband actually was a fighter. He was a world champion at one time. I don't really want to go too deep into him. But what was great is that when we met... He was still kind of towards the end of his career, and he was like, oh, you're boxing. And then he, because I was doing it on my own, and then he was like, you need to get with a better trainer. I mean, a different trainer, I should say. You need to step some things up. So he knew what I needed to do, and he taught me a lot of what I needed to know. And then I ended up going, we moved to Vegas. I started training with Floyd Mayweather's uncle, Roger Mayweather. Yes. And that's when I really upped my game. And so that was perfect for that time. And so he was very confident, obviously, and I don't ever want to be with a man that feels like I'm gonna beat them up. And to be honest with you, I'm not that kind of girl. Like, I don't go around like flexing, like I can cook your ass, because like I said, what did I say? I said, men are always going to be stronger than women.
Yeah.
And that, I'm talking pound for pound.
But yet attitude wise, like your husband now, ex-football player.
He's a guy. He's an athlete.
You kind of an alpha, or do you feel...
No, he's Curtis is very laid back. Yeah. He has a quiet confidence, and you know, I'm the fiery one out of the two, because we would be bumping. Now, my ex-husband, we used to get into it a lot because he, you know, he thought he was trying to put out my fire. It's like, you're not gonna put out my fire.
Yeah.
And you know, my husband has no problem. He's laid back, but when he needs a step, I'm like, okay, hold on, and then I know when to calm down. I know when to back off. So you got to have that balance. And I enjoy being a woman. I enjoy letting a man be a man. I love cooking. I love cleaning. I love doing laundry. I love doing all those things. But at the same time, he knows when it's fight, like, I still can get into that mode. So he has to be like, hold up, Layla. You know what I mean? So
okay, so she liked doing those traditional things.
I love it. And it's just natural for me. And I feel like you don't have to choose between the two. I don't have anything that I have to prove. And people used to ask me that all the time. I was fighting. How are you a lady outside of the ring and a fighter in the ring? I was like, I just am. When you're going into the ring, a switch flips, and I'm thinking about somebody trying to take my head off. I'm not thinking about, do I have lipstick on or any of that. It's like, I'm going here to kick your ass. You know, you're trying to take what's mine.
Yeah,
it's like, it's a total transition. Yeah. So, and then when I'm outside of the ring, then I'm like, I'm going to look in the mirror and be like, I want to look nice. You know, so I'm both.
How do you feel about all this? Like, because you're saying you like to do the traditional stuff at home, but there's all this new thinking about, like, hey, women should not do that stuff, or this thing of like, that's old thinking. You know,
this is what it is, you know, because when we start speaking about women, you know, or no one can speak for us but a woman. Mm-hmm. And And the thing is that a lot of women now are career women. Okay, times have changed and they just like aren't doing a lot of the things that they used to do. But there's been a role reversal. Like sometimes women have more opportunities where in the back in the day, it used to be right. I'm talking about back in the day, women would stay home. The man would go out. And then but that was a lot of work to keep the house and to raise the kids. It's a, you know, kids are the future. So now women, a lot of them feel like, well, why should I have to do those things if I'm out here being a career woman? But I think that you can do both. It's really a matter of what you want to do. If you don't want to do it, then don't do it. But I actually. And then some women feel like they have to, you know, stick their chest out and prove a point, right? So it's like, do what's in your heart for the right reasons. Like, I actually like doing those things. I'm totally fine with that. But when I step out into the world, I put my business hat back on and I do what I have to do. So, you know, it's just woman to woman is different. So,
yeah. Well, thank you. I mean, it's really good talking to you. I want to promote your book properly. It's called Food for Life, of course, Leila Ali. And it's available now.
It is. It just came out yesterday and it's already a bestseller. It's moving up the charts on Amazon and on Barnes & Noble, and people are embracing it. I'm super excited about it. Like, I am on a high right now because I've been working on this book for like a couple of years, and you just don't know. You know, you're like, you just want it to do well. Yeah. And really, just so, in case I don't remember if I said it or not, I became really passionate about helping people take control of their life through nutrition, because we have a lot of problems, as we know, in this country and around the world with diabetes and heart disease and people with foggy brain and, you know, skin problems, all these things. They don't understand that it all comes from the way that we eat. So we need to respect our body, try to do a little better. You don't have to make a drastic change. Take it step by step and start thinking about what you can add to your life instead of what you need to take away. You don't need to stop eating your chicken parmesan, no. But you might need to have one of my green power shakes every morning. You know, I don't know.
I'm not a good cook. I'm going to give this book to my wife. I'll make it like it's a present.
I love it.
Or something.
Yeah, make it look like you want to buy it.
Tell her, tell her it was from me.
I'll say that.
Maybe you could sign it to her and it'll be like a bit with a special
thing. You will do that. You will definitely do that.
Dear Matt, I hear your wife can't cook, Leila.
No, don't tell her that. That is funny.
That's great. Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Yeah, it was really fun talking to you.
Thank you. And let me just mention, you guys ever want to listen to me? I have a podcast, Leila Ali Lifestyle. It's on Podcast One and iTunes, so check it out.
When is it available?
Are you on Instagram? Or?
I am. I'm The Real Leila Ali on Instagram. And, you know, I put a podcast out every week. And, you know, I do this too. Hey.
Nice. Excellent.
It's great talking to you.
So great.
Thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
What up, everybody? This is CJ McCollum from the Portland Trailblazers. And here's a little taste of what we talked about on this week's Pull Up podcast. Very special mini post-Game 7 episode of Pull Up. An epic Game 7 in Denver.
37 points, back-to-back, essentially closeout buckets. Why were you so successful last night?
I think it just really came down to my demeanor and mindset. Empty the clip, leave nothing out there. I wanted to say I did everything in my power, and I left all my bullets out there on the court and didn't bring anything home.
How do you shift to a completely new animal, an absolute monster in the Warriors?
In the playoffs, it just comes down to X's and O's and execution more so than anything else. The Warriors aren't going to run a lot of plays. They're going to run a lot of misdirection out of timeouts and late clock situations. But most of it's going to be mid pick and roll. It's going to be pin downs and flares and things of that nature for Klay and Steph. And a lot of transition. So you have to guard a 3-point line, get back in transition, and make it as difficult as possible on them. Don't forget to
pull up.
Subscribe and listen every week on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
After a stressful game, it's only natural to need some well-deserved rest. Upgrade your current sleep situation because Mattress Firm is offering the best bed deal of the year. Get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price for savings of up to $700. Plus, take home a free adjustable base up to a $699 value. That's $699 for free. You'll only find these deals during Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale. So don't miss your chance to start sleeping like a pro. Shop now at mattressfirm.com/sale. There's nothing worse than being uncomfortable in bed. It's horrible. You're not rested the next day. You suck at work. Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale is offering the best bed deal of the year. Save up to $700 when you get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price. Plus, take home a free adjustable base that's up to a $699 value free. Visit mattressfirm.com/sale for more details. That was a lovely talk with Leila Ali. We took a couple photos. And what a nice person.
She has such a good energy about her, Jimmy. Yes. I like her right away.
I did too. She was a very, very confident person. You know, but it's funny. You know, you can see her father's face in her in the expressions. Like, she did a couple of things with her, like, her mouth and her eyes, just when she spoke naturally. And I'm like, that is such an Ollie thing to do. Yeah, that's just something that you like, when you go, they look like their dad.
But stunning.
Yeah, very attractive.
Very pretty.
But then again, he was an attractive guy. Well, so, I mean, it's like, you know, they're a good-looking family.
There you go. That's good.
But good explanation on Rhonda, too. I'm glad she cleared that up, too, because you never know how these things get...
But you know what I like about that is, like, she seems like a real cool chick, man. Like, you know what I mean? She's not out there. She didn't, like, go calling TMZ, like, hey, listen, this is what I... She wasn't trying to get attention. She was just, like, you know, being honest, how she feels. And I like her attitude. I do.
Now, before we talk to Derek Brunson, who's the main event against Jacare, I want to talk about a couple of fights that got added, or at least one, a strawweight fight, Kolakiewicz against Felice Herrig. That's on 223 Ferguson, Nurmagomedov. That's an amazing card so far.
That's Brooklyn? That's Brooklyn.
You got Tony and Habib. You got Joanna and Rose with their rematches, the co-main. And now you got Carolina and Felice. I'm sure that's amazing. I'm going to guess that's going to be like the first or second fight on the main card. They still need one more fight on that main card. Now, Matt says he's going, so I imagine Matt knows something that we don't. He's not saying shit.
I might know something.
So there might be two more main card, main card fights.
Yeah, I would think they'll add two.
Chris Weidman against Ally Aquinta. No. You know, just two of Matt's guys.
I'll tell you, I can't
else.
Wait to see. You know what? I can't wait. You know who was in class last night? I got to see Raging Al.
Oh, you did?
Oh, I miss Raging Al.
How's he doing? I miss him too, actually. I haven't seen him fight in a while.
Dude, he's just such a good dude.
Good. Have him come in one day.
He's gone. I told him, come in.
Is he too busy?
I don't care who. I mean, if you like Dana, you don't like Dana, come in here.
What's he too busy?
Talk about it here. You don't have to talk about it in other people's podcasts.
Yeah, come here. We'll chat with
him. He's just a good kid. He's got a good energy. And we had a good time last night, man, at the academy, man. It was a bunch of killers.
Can I say this about the Carolina Felice Herrig fight? That's great for. I mean, it's a fun fight, but for Felice, she's been looking. When she was on our show, she talked about wanting a big fight, and she feels disrespected. Well, this is the fight.
Right. She's got it.
Yeah.
You know? And that's when Carolina goes, watch what you wish for. I'm just starting shit. She didn't say anything. But, you know. Now, listen. These guys fought. Jacare and Brunson fought in 2012.
Yeah.
And he got knocked out.
Which is to think that you don't picture Jacare. I mean, again, when you know Jacare hits hard, but you don't picture him knocking Brunson out. That's not how you'd see. It was almost like you didn't see Joanna tapping due to strikes against Rose.
Right.
There's certain ways you don't see somebody
losing.
But
he was starting to really work his striking, like develop it pretty much in Strikeforce, Jacare.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now it's more polished. But I want to ask Derek, and I could actually
I'll
say
ask
this,
him.
Okay. Anyway, what else do we got?
Now, listen. What do you want to ask him?
I want to. You better keep me to it, or else I'll forget what I was going to ask him. No, I was going to ask him. Like, do you think he got laid out by him because he was so fearful of the ground? Is that why he landed? What did he hit him with again? It's been a while.
Yeah. He caught him with a punch. I don't remember.
Yeah. I'm wondering, man. I mean, listen, it's kind of like my fight with GSP. He didn't expect me to stand with him.
I won't.
How does
won't
it always go
question.
Back to that?
I won't steal your question.
How does it always go back to that?
Okay.
Why? It's a shitty question.
No.
Okay.
It's a good question.
I'm so taken with that Layla Ali. She was so nice.
Let's put it all on the table. We both have a slight crush on Layla Ali.
Well, my wife would get jealous of that. I can't
say that. No, she knows that you're a good man. However, what I have a crush on is Layla Ali's wedding ring. That's why I asked what her husband did. I'm like, what does this guy do? Is he a fucking, is he an oil merchant? Like this, the ring on her finger was like my head. Whoever married her loves her very much. It's a giant wedding ring.
But she's very personable. Like,
she's lovely.
You know what I mean? So she didn't just inherit, you know, the fighting spirit from her father. She's got some personality to her.
But the thing is, when I looked at that ring, the pressure of marrying Muhammad Ali's daughter, because you're not just marrying the daughter of a famous athlete. You're marrying a famous athlete. And the daughter of the most beloved athlete on earth.
Yeah.
There was nobody more loved than Ali in any sport. More respected.
He transcended the sport. I mean, he was maybe the most famous person on earth at one point.
At one point, yeah. I mean, but he was so...
He was hysterical too, man.
He was a funny dude, man. He was a funny dude.
Matt, we were talking before the show. Dana White had something to say about CM Punk potentially returning to the UFC.
What did he say about that?
So Dana said, I like that guy. He's a good dude. He wants one more. He wants to get another shot. I'm going to give it to him.
Can I just tell you that I did hear that, and I said to pretend like I didn't hear that because I heard him say something about giving him another shot. So immediately I texted Dana. I think it was yesterday, and I'm like, dude, I heard what you said about CM Punk. Let's just like the first one. Let's find him on Looking for a Fight. Let's go.
And he's like, that's it. We're going to someplace. I don't know if it's always secret where we're going.
All right, cool. When are we doing it?
Dude, Jimmy, you listen to me. I don't know if you ever saw Compland when Robert De Niro was talking to Sylvester Stallone when he wanted to do the right thing, but it was too late. You had your chance. You had your opportunity, and you blew it.
No, all I remember about Copland is
you ever Sylvester. Seen that movie?
Yes.
It's not bad, right?
I just remember Sly when he was all fat telling the girl because all the good ones were taken. That reminds me of me. Just out of shape.
That's booing him. I didn't like that part of the movie. I didn't even like the movie.
My favorite thing Sly did in that was...
What'd he do? That movie sucked.
No, Copland?
You like Copland?
I loved Stallone. You
know what I just realized just this second? We don't like the same type of movies, Jimmy.
Not at all. I like good ones.
You're like, no, I like grown-up movies. Ah, you're so cool, no, Jimmy.
Michael Rapaport was good in that.
I like Michael
Rapaport.
De Niro
was good in that. I thought, you know, Gene Garofalo had a tiny part. I thought Ray Liotta was good in that.
Gene Garofalo? She
played a cop. I thought Stallone was great in that. And Ray Liotta kept teasing him, calling him Fat Sly. You know, I thought that Stallone was so great. It's not the best movie. Wasn't Harvey Keitel in that? Quick, yeah. IMDb!
But I don't know. They got to kill the Superboy and the Super... And he's up in
I'm not saying
he's up in the town.
Look, I'm not saying it's amazing.
He's up in the water town where
Keitel played the great cop, the kind of the dirty cop.
And he also played the bad lieutenant.
He sure did. That's Show me how you movie. Suck a cock!
I don't want to! Oh, who are you talking to? That's from the movie?
Oh, I wouldn't even think of the movie.
I thought you were yelling at me.
Yeah, we come from Kit Kat Club. Kit Kat Club. He was the best in that.
That movie was so... That movie was creepy, disgusting. I hate that fucking movie. And the fact that you like it... I know that you like that movie.
Did it remind you of when you got pulled over when you were a teenager?
He was so creepy in that movie and disgusting. I loved it.
But dude, when he breaks down at the end in the church...
Fuck it! That's
Harvey Keitel.
No, he's good.
By the way, I was at a... I can't say whose family Christmas party I was invited to. It's not important.
It's not Robert De Niro's again, is it?
Oh, it was his, yes.
Oh, it was his. Oh, boy.
But Harvey Keitel was there, and I've never met Keitel.
Hey.
And so I'm walking over at the end.
He's the fucking wolf, you know.
I love him.
Go ahead.
So I don't want to take any pictures there, because it's Bob's party, De Niro.
It's kind of corny. It's kind of corny, Jimmy.
I'm leaving, and De Niro is talking to Keitel and one of his sons. And so I'm just like, hey, Bob, I'm going to leave. But he calls me over and he puts his arm and he wants to hug him. He's a very lovely man. Hmm. So this girl, because Keitel was sitting in front of us, wanted a picture with Harvey and De Niro. So I'm going to walk away and De Niro pulls me into it. So there's a photo of me with De Niro and Harvey Keitel and I don't know who has it.
You got to just find this girl.
I don't know who she is. I could look at the top of Harvey Keitel's head. I was like, I'm behind Harvey Keitel. I want to touch him.
Just start talking about it on stage.
I should have asked them to fuck. I should have asked them to.
Jimmy, if you ever have like a shindig at your apartment.
I did already. July 4th. You were invited. You didn't come.
No, you didn't invite me.
No, it was radio people.
Yeah, that's right. You invited other people. But listen to me. If you ever do.
You're invited.
Listen, you're Colin Quinn's and you're Adams. I don't know who you're friends with.
I want you to come.
But if you ever invite me, don't think I'm going to sit there like, can I have a picture? I'm not going to be that guy to embarrass you.
Why would you? There's no one to
speak. Listen to me. Some people, there's nothing wrong with my neck. I'm not pointing to somebody.
TJ Miller.
If you brought somebody else around.
Who's he going to
my neck? Someone? I got a hurt neck. I'm not pointing at the table.
Yeah, he's bobbing it up.
He might embarrass you. Be like, can I have a picture to everybody? I wouldn't do that to you, Jimmy.
You're more famous than all of us.
Well, the thing is this. Listen to me.
You won the welterweight championship.
People call me Kimura Savage. Has nothing to do with anything.
No.
God, I love that game, Jimmy. I was the winner again. Winner, Raptor dinner. Kimura Savage.
Kimura lad.
30 people. Don't say that, Jimmy. 30 people got dropped on this island. 30, Jimmy.
That's right.
30. And then it closes in. Guess who? One guy.
Kimura Bucko.
It wasn't Kimura Bucko.
Yeah, the Kimura lad won the fight.
It was Kimura Savage.
Do people ever say Kimura lad?
I think it's time to call direct.
Do people ever call you Kimura lad?
People, they've given me all these, some of them worse than others, man. I told you, the Kimura dragon, I wanted to jump out the window.
That's terrible.
What else? What else was there?
Well, we got Kimura Commander from someone, which I don't mind.
Hey, that's great. That's great. What am I, 12 years old? I'm first of all, talking about my video game profile. I guess I am 12 years old. I played it. My wife said, "You're not coming to bed." I got one more game, honey. One more game.
I believe we have Derek Brunson on the phone. Hello, Derek.
No, yeah, I'm connecting you through real quick.
Okay, right. Pal. Thank you.
Just making sure. So, yeah.
It is us.
Thank you.
Disappointing. But yeah.
That's right. Okay. We're happy to talk to you. Is he close by?
Yeah, are you his assistant? You through right now.
Okay.
Who are you?
Right. I'm Tamar from the UFC. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay. Nice. Better be nice to
you.
Well,
now you're famous.
We won't mess with you.
There it is.
Okay.
All right, you guys should be good to go.
Thanks, buddy.
Hello, is this Derek?
Yes.
Hi, Derek. You're talking to Jim and Matt on UFC Unfiltered. How are you, pal?
What's up, Derek?
I'm good. And you?
We are doing very well. I'm guessing right now you are. Well, I should ask where you are instead of guessing.
I'm in Charlotte right now.
Okay, so you are from Charlotte, and you're ready for this. You're ready for this Saturday. You guys are, of course, the main event at 8 o'clock. UFC on Fox. Against Jacare, number 8, number 3. I think this fight has a huge implications for you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like you said, you got 3-8. A win over number 3. I think I could jump a lot of guys and get to that 3 spot. And then, you know, you got the champion and number 1 fighting for the title. So, you know, I can easily jump in and get the next title shot with the win here.
Well, or if you do, if there's you also have, because you know, like you said, Yoel is fighting Rockhold because of Whitaker being hurt, and then you and Jacare and Weidman and Gastelum are still out there. So would you be happy with one of them before a title shot, or if you win this, are you going to kind of hold out for a title shot?
I don't know. I think I'll be okay with waiting, in the fact that I asked to fight Weidman and the other guys before, but didn't really get any interest there. So. If I can jump to the 3 spot, yeah, I'll just wait my turn for the next title shot. And also with Whitaker being injured, I don't know how long he'll be out. He might be out for a while.
Well, yeah, they're saying his organs, the staph infection was in his stomach and started eating his organs because it was misdiagnosed. So yeah, you're right. That might be a layoff. Now you fought Jacare in Strikeforce. Now do you think that he knocked you out because were you fearful of going to the ground?
Good question, Jimmy.
I just stole Matt's question.
Frick.
No. It was 5 years ago when I first started mixed martial arts. I was just naturally really good from working so hard. So I was thrown in the big fights at the time, and he was one of the top guys at the time. So it was more of a thing that I was really green whenever I fought him. I wasn't really a complete mixed martial artist. So, you know, you're talking 5 years later. 5 years later, I'm a different person.
Okay.
And you got talk about a lot of experience on the big stage since that fight. I mean, do you feel like a completely different fighter than the first time you met?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, like I said, at that time, I was fighting for a year. Yeah. And I just jumped in right after college with no experience of taking any, like, karate or anything at an early age. I just had wrestling in my background or in my back pocket. And, you know, so now... You got 5 years of boxing, 5 years of Muay Thai, 5 years of jiu-jitsu, and my wrestling skills. So
now, do you feel in that 5 years? Do you feel Jacare? Did he stay the same? Do you think he improved by leaps and bounds?
Or do you think he's gone down the other side a little bit because he's been fighting for a while?
I think he's the exact same fighter. He's just really good at what he does, but he's the exact same fighter. You know, looks for a takedown. Try to get the submissions. He'll come forward, throw a couple punches, then he's looking to get the takedown. So he hasn't really changed much. Still the same fighter.
Now you're a purple belt on the David Branch. He's over here in New York. Where are you living now, Derek?
I'm in North Carolina. I live in North Carolina.
How did you end up getting a purple belt on the David? And how often do you see him?
It's funny. I was actually going to pick up my purple belt by Henzo, which is Dave is a purple belt under Henzo. But I was on a tight schedule, so I had to head back to North Carolina. So Dave was the one who was able to give me my purple belt at the time. But I'm always in New York. My son lives in New York, so I'm always in New York. I travel a lot for training. So when it comes to training, I'm all over the place.
Yeah. And now with the jiu-jitsu, you've seen... With Jacare's fights, how devastating he could be, especially on top. How much concern do you have? Because some guys, they're afraid of letting those hands go because the guy can get, a guy like Jacare gets on top of you, it could be devastating. Or do you feel like you've done so much trouble down there, so much training down there, and you're a former wrestler where, man, it's hard to keep you down? I mean, do you feel confident down there with him?
Yeah, I feel 100% confident on the ground. I've rolled with top level black belts a couple years ago or a year and a half ago, I was preparing to fight this Chukao, who's a third degree black belt on the ground. So I found this other guy who's a third degree black belt in jiu-jitsu also. And, you know, we were going over a lot of stuff and he was like, dang, you know, he's surprised with the awareness that I had when it comes to jiu-jitsu. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm good. I'm good on the ground, you know, so I'm fine there. I'm not worried about Jacare's jiu-jitsu. I've been training BJJ for 7 years now, and wrestling has been my strong point.
And you have, I've noticed you've won, I think it's 7 out of 9 fights. As far as I'm concerned, 8 out of 9 fights, because I thought the Anderson Silva, I thought you were robbed. I thought you absolutely won that fight. 7 of these wins have been first round TKOs. So has anything, I mean, you've had some, you've had a lot of first round wins, and I think at least, one first round loss. But has anything changed for you recently where you've had 7 in a row? It's unusual to have that many fast knockout wins.
Just continue to work the hands and believing in my craft. So I go out there looking to get it done. You know, I'm not one of these guys that try to see how long I can stay in the octagon. So.
What do you think Jacare's strategy against you is going to be?
I think his strategy is the same as he fight everybody else, you know. Set up the hands and look to try to get the takedown. So I think he'll come forward with a couple punches and he'll look to shoot.
Now, is this your first rematch, and you are avenging a loss? Does it mean anything to you the first time you fought a guy twice?
No. I don't even look at it. It was so long ago. It's a rematch where, like I said, when I first fought him, you know, I was very green in the sport. So it's kind of like a new matchup to me. Just new skills, a lot of experience now, and I know what I'm facing, and he knows what he's facing also. Well,
now with Machida, now with your last fight with Machida, that was pretty amazing. And he looked ready. I mean, they did that hype up. They show him on the beach doing his fucking crane kick. And next thing you know, you came out there. That was in Brazil, correct?
Yeah.
Right.
Now, how much extra pressure is that, fighting a legend?
Apparently none.
Jimmy, did you feel any extra pressure fighting Machida, who's a legend of you know, in his home country over there?
Nah, when I accept the fight, I take out all the factors. I mean, if I'm going to fight the fight, I don't really think about the negatives. I just know that it's a fight. You know, yeah. I take out of my mind where I'm fighting at, et cetera, et cetera. But, yeah, the guy looked ready. I saw him in open work warm-ups, and he looked better than I've ever seen him, honestly. You know, he was doing all types of, like, flying knees, kicks to, like, knees. I was like, man. But everybody say this guy, you know, is going to come back rusty, you know, and just looking at his warm-ups and his training videos and just kind of hearing around, I heard he had a great camp.
Yeah. You
know? So, yeah, I was expecting the best Yoda.
I'll tell you, I remember watching it and watching the, you know, you watch the build-up right before you guys walk out. I go, this is going to be a fucking battle. And then you just handled business, man. I was like, holy shit. So, I mean, your confidence has to be flying high.
Oh, yeah, I'm ready, you know. I'm confident in every fight that I have. It's just a matter of being calculated, not rushing, taking your time, and making the most of the big moments.
And you're going from one specialist to another. You went from a karate specialist. Of course, they're both well-rounded. Other things to worry about. But these guys
fight a judo specialist before that, too?
Did he? Wait, hold on. Yes, he did. He fought. What's Daniel going Kelly. On with you and all the specialists? Yeah. Next, after this, you're fighting fucking a boxer? No, but you're getting all guys. You fought Dan Kelly, right, who's very good in the judo. And then you had Machida. No, I'm sorry.
Who yes, knows? Machida. Yeah, Machida. Karate, and now yes. Jiu-Jitsu.
And now Jacare, man. You better be well-rounded. And you are, Derek Brunson. I'm excited for this weekend.
Yeah.
It's not even a question. I'm just saying I'm excited.
I wanted to ask you, too, what do you think, Derek, about, because you fought Yoel before. I believe it was a third-round TKO that he beat you. But that's been a while. What do you think about Yoel getting the shot, fighting Luke, getting called up to fight Luke?
I think it's a good fight. I could have easily been the guy that they call up, being that I'm on a decent win streak opposed to the guys ranked ahead of me, you know. But yeah, the fight makes sense. You know, you have, I think, 1 and 2 ranked guy going at it. And yeah, it should be a good one.
Well, you're fighting the main event. It is Jacare Brunson. You're one of the most exciting guys in UFC to watch. So good luck, man. It's Saturday the 27th from Charlotte, North Carolina. This the Fox main card, of course, starts at 8 p.m. And Andre Feely, Dennis Bermudez, which is another great fight, is the co-main. So good luck, Derek, and always, always love watching you fight.
Good luck, Derek.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, take care, buddy.
Yeah, man, he's, now that's on Big Fox.
Yes,
Fox,
okay. Yes, it is.
Nice. We should be doing picks.
Yeah, let's do our picks.
Let's do our picks. And I'm looking at this fight card right now, and I'm freaking...
I'm not familiar with a couple of the fighters. I can't pretend I am.
Well, you better start pretending some shit.
Yeah. I can't fake
it. Official podcast. I'm only kidding.
I know, you're right.
I'm fucking around.
You're 100% right. I don't know Derek Dober.
Drew Dober, yeah.
Drew Dober.
Well, how many fights has Drew Dober and Frank Camacho had? Frank's been around.
They've both been around. Yeah. I mean, in the UFC, I think... Well, I can take a look. Hold on. Drew Dober is 18-8-1. And he's had, yeah, he's been in the UFC for a bit, but.
Yeah, well, listen to so many damn fights. Oh, yeah. And what is Frank's record right now?
Let me check.
I'm talking about UFC fights. I don't want to hear about that other shit.
Yeah, yeah. That's fine.
We're talking about the fucking big
fight. We don't want to hear about when he fought an Invicta.
Yeah, I don't want to. That Layla Ali could have fought an Invicta. I don't know. Yeah. I'm just a big fan now.
I am too.
You know what I mean? I'm a big fan. I think she's she had such a great energy about her. I like good energy. You know what? I don't like bad energy. David, Jimmy, I went to the court the other day, had to handle some business, nothing big.
And I'm How was it?
Don't put that fucking face on. That's a negative energy.
Frank Camacho said 3 UFC fights.
He had 3 UFC fights. Jimmy, really quick. I'm going through the thing. It's a metal detector at the court. Now, look, Jimmy, I'm a nice guy, Jimmy.
Very.
I'm a very nice guy.
The nicest, I would say.
And I'm not a guy who's anti-cop or anything
not
like that.
Not at all.
My father's a retired NYPD.
Yes, he is.
I'm not that guy. But really quick. Now, look. Well, you got to wait, and you know, I'm waiting in line. Now there's the metal detector. So the lady in front of me, she puts her stuff in a little tray,
right.
Her phone or whatever, so and whatever, and then they put that, and then she walks through. So she goes through, and the guy, the court officer is talking to the other guy. So then I go up next, I start putting my stuff in the thing, and he stops. He goes, whoa, hey, don't put another thing in there. All right. You know, I'm not cutting the line, and I'm waiting for a second. Okay, I didn't know what the fuck. And then, I'm like, then he goes, all right, go ahead. All right, go ahead. All right, put more stuff. Okay. My jacket, okay. Now you can try it. Go ahead. See how you do. All right. All right, you fucking punk. I wish. You know what I wish, you fucking cocksucker? I wish. I know this is what I wish, Mr. Authority. You're a tough guy. I wish me and you were locked in a fucking room. I wish you took that gun belt and fucking threw it out the window. I would make you cry like a little girl. Like a little fucking little bitch. Because that's what you are. You're abusing your authority. I'm here being a nice guy.
You didn't like your attitude.
I'm smiling. I don't like your fucking attitude. You shouldn't be greeting you. Hey, how about this? If you're not a people person, the civil service test you took to get your fucking little rent-a-cop thing here, how about you be a garbage man? You don't got to deal with people. You dump some trash. You're dealing with people. Pop out a smile, you motherfucker. All right, let's get back to
our picks.
He was an asshole.
He was and how an about asshole. This? Was he a cop or a rent-a-cop?
No. He was a court officer.
A real police officer.
Oh, yeah, okay. There you go. Good for him. He passed the test.
But you how would, about this? But you would like but to handle him alone in a room.
I would love that guy to try a class at Sarah BJJ. You got a free class, buddy. Start mounted, whatever. Listen, first class, you get to add strikes in. I can't strike you. I'll just fucking smack you around, you little bitch. But anyway, I got annoyed. You know what annoys me, though? I don't have a good capacity of taking
No, you don't.
Shit.
Well, why did she speak to you that way?
It wasn't her fault. She might have had a bad day. No, it wasn't. But it's just some fucking big goon. Who
was he
fucking,
big?
I mean.
Was he bigger than you?
Well, I mean, he's taller. He's up to, I'm up to his shoulders. But that's not the. So what does that mean? He gets to be and it's not a Napoleon thing. The guy's a douche. The guy was acting like a douchebag. And how about this? I went upstairs to go where I had to meet. And I seen another court officer comes up. And the guy wants a picture. He's a nice guy.
Said hello.
That doesn't mean anything. You don't have to know me from a hole in the wall. But how about you be a nice guy?
The guy
I'm
didn't...
not doing any... What am I doing? I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
That guy
I'm
didn't
not being
know
rude.
Who he was talking to.
But that doesn't mean... It doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter. Because I'm not nice to people because... They might be somebody special. Not that I'm somebody special.
Oh, you are.
I mean, I'm pretty special.
Yeah, ex-welterweight champion of the world.
Well, you know, I did a lot of things. But that's not the point, Jimmy.
No.
I accomplished a lot of things. But the point is, guy had a fucking, if you're dealing with people, the guy had a terrible, it was almost like
it's the worst, yeah.
Worst attitude. It's like, dude, you know what? Now I get to take a piss in the middle of the night. I shouldn't be, why am I thinking? I want to be like, oh, I wish I could have that guy in a fucking shoulder.
You think of that stuff. I always think like, I wish I could fight. You can fight. So for you, it's always, you have the one consolation of, you know what? This guy was a dick and I know I could rip his head off.
Well, the thing is this, even if I couldn't, I don't like taking that shit. Even if the guy was somehow more manly than me, he wasn't though.
Of course,
but I mean, but dude, think about that. I'm putting my stuff in. Hey, don't put another thing in there. Hey, hold on. All right. Then he
Then he looks, then he goes, then he talks to me. All right, good. Go ahead. Do what I'm doing? What the fuck are you talking about?
Didn't you want to say that to him?
Oh, I was a little taken back because then there was another thing where you put your jacket, the lady was putting her jacket in. I'm like, oh, is my jacket good? He goes, yeah, go through, see how you do. All right. Anyway, it happened very fast. I wanted to almost go back through. Yeah. I wanted to almost be like, oh, I left something in my car. Let me go back through and let me have another interaction with you. Because I could just say, you're not having a good day. You're not having a good day? And then why do you want to ask? And then he can just escalate into a nice conversation, which would probably get me locked up.
Yeah.
So it's better that I didn't do anything. I just need this platform.
You know what he said to you? Dad, just go in there. Keep walking.
Listen, it's
you
all.
Know, are you listen, done here? Go
listen,
walk.
Listen to me. I respect law enforcement.
Yes, you do.
But just try not to be douchebags.
Don't be a dick.
Be nice.
I don't know why. I'm surprised you like club bouncers so much because they tend to
Jimmy,
be.
Stop it.
Why?
I don't go out. You know what? Yeah, you know what? You should go out. Go out in Jersey at the Atlantic City, at the Tropicana, that club. I forgot the club of it. The name of it.
Was the guy nice to you?
One guy was one douchebag after the other.
Really?
Do you know what the VIP section is?
I've heard of them. I'm never allowed in them.
You know, listen. You can't. It's over there. It's upstairs. Yeah. Hey, you can't stand here.
Oh,
really? You can't stand here? I just asked you a question. Motherfucker. I don't like. I don't like. How about this? You ever see the shirt "Rude People Suck"? Of course. It's almost too common to say.
When the
that.
Guy said you can't stand here, was he being kind of cunty?
Oh, dude, Jimmy likes to get me fired. All right, let's do our picks. I vented. I feel better.
When's the last time? Besides from this guy, when's the last time somebody in public kind of talked to you like a douche and you knew that they just didn't know?
No. Well, you brought up the subway. The guy in the subway that was like
the guy who was trying to me. I was in the slow lane. Yeah. I was on the guy was behind me going, "Man, you walk slow."
What did you say? Did you apologize?
I don't know, but I think it was Derek Brunson stunt. Not Derek Brunson. I think it was the Black Beast stunt double.
He's a big guy.
Yeah, he was a big guy.
And did you apologize for walking slowly?
Yeah, they can look up that episode. Don't make me a braggart.
I don't think you're a braggart. I'm just curious what you did.
No, I just told the guy, listen, you know, he doesn't have to walk behind me, basically. I said it like that. I forgot exactly what I said. You can never recapture an organic moment.
But you told him to go around.
Then you sound like you're trying to be a tough guy.
No, I'm just asking.
Which I don't try to be, Jimmy.
Not at all.
Jimmy, I walk around with smiles, Jimmy.
You do.
I hug you on the subway every time.
Yeah, but it's from the back.
What I don't do, Jimmy, don't tell people about that. But I hug you. Every time we leave, Jimmy, I'm a hugger. Okay, let's do our picks.
All right.
What do we got?
Welterweight. Because I am not as familiar with Drew Dober, I'm going to have to go with Frank Camacho. TKO in the second round.
Give me the records again. In the UFC?
Frank Camacho's 2-1 in the UFC, and Drew Dober, I didn't give you his record
18 and
in the
something.
UFC. Yeah, but in the UFC, he is 1, 2, 3, 4. He's 4-3-1, no contest in the UFC.
He's got some experience. Both their last fight was?
Drew Dober has a knockout of Josh Berkman in his last fight.
Oh, that's, I see this. I got it.
And Frank Camacho has a split decision win over Damian Brown recently. And it was a fun fight.
That was a fun fight. Yeah. I'm going with Drew Dober, and I feel he's going to be extra confident after getting that knockout compared to the split decision, even though it was a battle with Frank Camacho.
I say he's going to be overconfident.
Oh. All right.
Well, you just choose the same guy, though.
Oh, didn't I?
No,
Camacho.
He took Camacho in the second round.
Oh, you're so macho to pick Camacho. I'm going to pick. Well, what are you picking him by?
TKO in the second round.
All right. You're not going to yell at me.
I'm not.
I'm sorry, Jimmy. I'm all fired up from that cocksucking court officer.
I know.
Just kidding. That guy's such a jerk off.
Would you have been mad like if you saw him outside and he grabbed you by the collar?
I don't even know if I recognized the guy. I mean, it happened so fast, but yet he was so the amount of douchiness that was coming, just like the guy was just like, he's the type of guy you'd be like, oh, you're just a dick, aren't you?
Did you want to
you're
tell
a guy
him?
That has something that you're not happy at home, you're sitting here, and you're just, and it's something's wrong in your life that you got to spread this negativity. Something's wrong.
Did you
I don't know what
you
it is.
You could have told him that.
You just don't know where it's going to go. You know what I'm saying?
Because if he came over and said, just keep walking.
All right.
Shut your mouth.
Listen to me. Here's a business card. Come over later on. Come to Sarah BJJ. Listen, you might have a ride here. You might need it. It might save your life. First lesson's on me, you fucking jerk. But anyway.
Would you want to throw him around the mat a little bit?
I take Drew Dober. Bye. I'm going to say third round TKO.
Okay.
All
right. I'm going with Frank Camacho, second round KO. He always looks good on his feet, and we'll see what he does this weekend.
All right.
I said TKO, but you said KO. All
right. Well, whatever. TKO,
stealing my
KO.
Thunder.
Same idea.
Tell me about the next fight. And I know who I'm going with anyway, because I'm kind of like
biased as people from Strong Island.
Right. Yeah. We got Gregor Gillespie, who's undefeated, 10-0, and he's from Long Island,
yep,
as Matt
he's
said.
A stud.
Yep. This will be his fourth UFC fight. So far, he's undefeated. Obviously, 10-0
indicates that, yeah.
And Jordan Rinaldi is 13-5.
And what was his last? What was his record in the UFC, though?
He is 1-1 in the UFC. He has a unanimous decision loss to Abel Trujillo, and he just got actually a Von Fluch choke, which we were trying to figure out who's the other person that got the Von Fluch choke. He has it over Alvaro Herrera in his last fight.
What camp is he? What camp is he from, Jordan?
I'm not really sure, to be honest with you.
All right.
I don't know. I don't know where he's fighting at.
Good job.
Let me see. It says Las Vegas, so I'm not sure where.
That's all right. Listen, I told you already I'm a biased guy because he's from Strong Island, but he's also a fucking stud.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say that Gregor wins submission second round.
All right.
I'm staring at Jimmy, everybody.
I'm debating.
Okay. Ooh.
I'm
debating.
Yeah. Because sometimes I want to pick who Matt wants to pick, and then sometimes I want to go against him just to be.
Because I'm a bad picker?
Well, no. I have Rinaldi by second round submission, so we have the opposite guy in the same round. So we'll see.
I'll take Rinaldi by third round submission.
All right.
All right, you guys are fucking wrong.
But I mean, you might be. Yeah, we might
listen
be.
To me. I like this.
I'm just also going by 10-0 due to lose sometimes. It's just the way fucking in up in Boston. Oh my God, my mind is really going.
Yeah, what are you smoking a lot of herb?
No,
that's me. I'm only kidding.
He was 10-0 and he just lost in Boston. Got knocked out.
Oh, Shane Burgos.
Burgos, yes.
Yeah.
All right.
These were tough. I took me a while to like make my picks on these. These are very close matchups, I feel like. So,
1738. I don't know what that means, but it's in the songs I listen to.
It's fun. It's Fetty Wap, yeah.
What does that mean?
1738, great dating ratio.
1738. I got these. I tell you, man, I got to clean up these lyrics. I've got kids, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And it's everything is really nasty about putting your pee-pee upside the in the vagina.
I don't go for that type of talk either.
You know?
Yeah.
And I can't sing these lyrics, man. I can't sing them around my school. I can't sing them around my house.
Do you try not
I
to
try to clean them up.
The kids?
You know, but even cleaning them up, you can't say it, man. So I try to think of, I'm like, I put my D up in a P and she can feel it in her toes. And it's not the same thing, but yet it's disgusting.
Yeah.
Let's
How
go,
about
guys.
We change it by my ducks up in her pigeons, just put in birds.
That's what I could do.
Yeah.
All right. The broccoli song. I like the broccoli song.
What are you doing? What are you
broccoli,
doing?
Broccoli, what was that?
Andre Feely Bermudez.
Oh, another guy from Strong Island.
Yeah.
I like Dennis Bermudez. I like both these guys.
Yeah.
And listen, I'll tell you right now, if I didn't like Dennis Bermudez so much, I like his, first of all, he's a guy that has fights that Jimmy, please fucking leave me alone. He's a fighter, as he is too, that has so much potential but loses fights where I think he really has the ability to win.
What's Dennis's record? Andre Feely is 22-7, I think, or 22-5. What is
Dennis,
or is he 17-5?
Hold on,
Feely, I think 17-5.
So Dennis is 16-7 overall, and Andre Feely is 17-5. Yeah.
Give me the UFC records, though.
I don't know.
That's what
I
the fuck.
I mean,
see,
Dennis
that's what I'm going to be asking from now on.
Yeah, break both records.
Yeah, because listen. I had 8 fights before I got in the UFC, and all the guys fucking didn't know what an arm lock was. I got my experience. It was a big, different time back then, Jim. Yeah.
Dennis is 9-5 in the UFC, and Feely is.
And Feely's coming off that win over fucking Artem.
Yes, he's 4-4 in the UFC.
Yeah,
I'm taking Dennis Bermudez.
Absolutely,
I think Feely's a tough character, and I love that Andre Feely is into he's into fucking comic books. Me and him have really geek out conversations. He says the guy, he's the alpha male kid that tatted up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's we've sat with each other on the way back from one of the fights. And oh my God, Longo's like, are you serious? No, we're sitting there talking about the movies and the comic books and whatever it was. I like the kid a lot. I do. But I am going to go with Bermudez by decision. I feel that the wrestling is going to be a difference, even though, you know, he it's not like he doesn't have any takedown defense, Feely, but I think that Bermudez is going to put it together. Not to mention he can strike also. I've seen him grapple. He's been out of my place a few times, not too long ago. I'm going to give it to Dennis Bermudez by decision.
Yeah, that was exactly what I was going to say.
That's what I have also.
Bermudez by decision.
The only X factor I could say in that is...
X-Factor was a great comic book.
And tell Chris if he says X-Factor again, I'm going to move to have him fired.
Hit him with that.
Just let him
chair.
Know. Email it to
dude,
him.
Dude, I'm calling, texting Dana now.
Okay, Chris.
Something that could be a thing in the fight is that Dennis just came off a loss to Darren Elkins, who's also another Team Alpha Male guy. True. So maybe, you know, they've already game planned for him, but I'm still taking Bermudez by
decision. Did you see that fight was razor thin?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
That fight was razor thin. I'd have to see that again. I remember thinking, shit, that's a close fight.
Yes.
You know? Because that was the same fight. That was the same night that fucking, because it was two close calls. It was him and that same card. I think that was at the Coliseum, I believe, because Gian Vellante fought that same night and lost to the one with the mustache.
Pat Cummins.
Yes. Very good, Jimmy. And I remember they were both so close, both those fights.
Yes.
I don't know. It's a little more of a personal you're right. thing. Let's talk about the main event. We got our fucking picks in.
Yeah.
Let's do that main event. I'm psyched for this fucking
fight. I think that Derek is going to use his karate chops.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm going to take a weird one. I'm going Jacare by submission.
Oh, that's really really weird, Jimmy.
Meaning, I guess you're right. It's not I know.
Yeah.
You're right. It's not
wow. Guys, one of the best jiu-jitsu players on the, whoever fought in the octagon is going to go for get a submission, everybody. He's really fucking going out.
I should probably have rephrased that. Matt raises a valid point.
I'm sorry.
No, you're completely right. I was saying that because I don't see Derek losing. The surprise is more like it's hard for me to picture Brunson losing to the same guy twice.
Oh, you were saying that Brunson's going to get the submission.
No, that's Jacare.
Jimmy's pick.
Jacare.
What?
I do think that, and I also think that because Jacare did a TKO last time. So I'm going to say Jacare by second round submission.
All right.
Excuse me.
All right. I think Jimmy's in my brain. I'll go last. Go ahead. Say something.
All right. I know I had the wrong pick in the last main event. I went first round knockout.
Did.
But I'm going first round knockout again. I think Brunson is going to exact his revenge on Jacare. First round knockout, Brunson.
First round submission. What did he say? First round submission by Jacare.
Yeah.
He's going to get him early. Hey, what do I know? I know a lot. I'm a fucking jiu-jitsu expert.
You're right.
But, you know.
But you're right. I did say that like I was making a real point. Like, guys, I'm going to go out on a limb mm-hmm. and think that Verdum is going to the ground. I should be fired.
Verdum? You're talking about Jacare.
No, but it's the same
example.
You know.
I wasn't listening. I was singing, Jimmy.
How stupid I was.
I put my D up in a P. Listen to me. I love rap music.
Yeah.
I also like a nice Angels and Airwaves. You know what's nice? My wife, when my kids are there, they're getting ready for bed, whatever they're doing, I wake up, they're out. I put on Angels. I go, Alexa. I talk to the you have Alexa?
No, I don't trust that shit being on. Why? Listening to me all the time. I'm talking about something. The next thing you know, I got fucking ads for dildo showing up on my phone. I don't need that.
Fuck. You think that's true, Jimmy?
Yes.
Look how red I am, Jimmy.
They've proven it's true.
Yeah, you're just wandering around your house with goggles on. You're yelling
at
Alexa.
I can't wander because it's not, you know, it's hooked up. But I got, you know, I got around from, what is it, like 5 feet? I got a little bit of the move, Jimmy. And I get Alexa, put on Angels and Airwaves radio. It's fucking nice. You ever hear Angels and Waves?
No.
You know the crazy guy? I don't want to see the crazy guy. He believes in the UFOs. He's from Blink 182.
Yes, Tom. I do.
Tom DeLonge. Yeah.
Tom DeLonge. He was on Joe Rogan's podcast recently. He's talking about
Tom DeLonge, right?
DeLonge Commission.
You know, whatever you want to say. But holy fuck, is that guy got good music?
Great.
I told you, Angels and Airwaves. Secret crowds? That'll change your life.
Okay.
It's not Black Sabbath. It's there not Ozzy fucking Izzy.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah, it's not Ozzy for you.
Good.
Maybe it's Ozzy to me.
How about Bob Marley?
What about him?
I love him.
Yeah, he loves weed. All right, listen to me. What are we up to?
I think we're done. We got it.
Can I tell you about the time I had? You had a good time.
Me too.
I got to vent a little negative. I just got to let it out.
What's the negativity? You're yelling out. Emotional vomiting.
That guy didn't ruin my day, but he
was a prick.
You know what? A smile, a nice gesture.
Yeah. Pat on the fanny.
Yeah. No, Jimmy, don't get nobody in trouble. That's not what I was saying.
All right,
you don't touch nobody.
Maybe you want that.
Don't touch anybody's
All right.
No,
right.
You don't do that.
You're right.
But a positive attitude. Be nice to people. Can we just leave on we should leave on a good note. A good, we keep thinking of a catchphrase like,
I agree, something to say at the end that's
so
positive.
Nice. Like, you know, guys, you know, smiles and kimuras. Don't do that. That's not a good one.
How about this?
What?
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
That even made Chris the producer cringe.
I got one. How about this? For Chris the producer and...
What? My name?
Yeah, for Chris the producer.
Kimura Savage. No, I'm not going to say Kimura Savage, but I'm not going to say my name. This is...
No, yeah, he's only going to call it. I'll just try
it. All right, I'll say my name.
All right, for Chris the producer and...
Matt.
This is Jim Norton saying, go out and seize today by the balls and squeeze it until jizz is all over your forearm.
Goodbye, everybody.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Why are smart businesses graduating to NetSuite by Oracle? Because NetSuite eliminates the expense of multiple business systems by consolidating your operations together into one. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. NetSuite reduces IT costs because it lives in the cloud with no hardware required, so you can access it from anywhere. You cut the cost and headaches of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. Bringing all your major business processes into one platform improves efficiency, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math. You'll see how you'll profit with NetSuite too. And now, by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Just go to netsuite.com/podcast25 for more information. That's netsuite.com/podcast25.